you need to grieve well. People who just rub some dirt on it and soldier on and don't actually process things don't do real great. And so I go to Acts 20 and I look at Paul and the Ephesian elders. Now, Paul in Ephesus had an amazing run. For a full 3 years, he was there, and that thing just exploded and took off. The Bible talks about the miracles that were happening. I got to be in the city of Ephesus, and I sat in this stadium that was 25,000 people. And in Acts 19, you see the silversmiths all gathering and chanting that one of the disciples be brought before them, because people were becoming converted, and the power of God was being evidenced in such a way that it actually was affecting their ability to make a living selling idols. I mean, people just weren't buying their idols, and they were going broke because they couldn't get them to do that. So the Bible talks about miracles that were happening, great things were going on, and Paul is moved by God to leave, and he calls the Ephesian elders together, and he talks to them, and he really identifies what it is that they're losing. He says, and when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. As we say goodbye, we need to acknowledge that there'll be some grief, that we've shared something, and that's going to change, and life will be different going ahead. And that will include emotion. And so if you think that you're not doing it well or not accepting God's plan or what's happening with the moves, or there should be, if you've shared life and engaged and done it well, some deep emotion. And there needs to be an acknowledgement of what's changing. You need to identify the loss. Secondly, in grieving well, you need to express what matters. I call it verbalize the important stuff. Listen to what Paul says. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. He's talking to the elders, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained by his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciple after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Verbalize the important stuff. What does it look like in relationships with one another to be intentional about giving thanks? Now, the Bible says to build up, to encourage. It's got all these one another's, right? And gratitude is at the heart of a lot of stuff. What does it look like to identify and be thankful for the role others have played in your life? Now, just stop for a minute and think. When did someone encourage you and give thanks, and how did you feel? And if it hasn't happened, I'm sorry. We'll try and get it to happen. I'm working on it here. First, in grieving well and verbalizing, you need to give thanks. And that means taking stock. What's transpired in our time here? What has God shown us? What's been important? Who's been important? How can I express encouragement to them? And when someone in your life is going, how do you say to them, this is what God's done in me, your faithfulness, through your friendship, through you? Secondly, be intentional about giving encouragement. Many times when you move or when there's a change like that, you kind of have this start over, right? And when you start over, you can easily start to question some things, your gifts, where you served, how you did your time. You get a chance to reorient. Do you know what encouragement does? It says, you using your gift made a difference here. You doing this, man, I've seen this gift in you. Don't lose that. Keep growing. Keep going. It encourages them to continue on in the next place. It encourages you as they go to continue on being faithful in doing. And intentional about identifying markers. We talk about markers and monuments around here a lot. We think that scripture is just full of examples of piling up the rocks. Creating that place and that space to say, this is where God did this. What are some of the markers? What life changes have transpired? What kinds of ups and downs, celebrations and cries have you had together? And how have you marked them? And identify significant moments where you see the work of God. Now, all of this, giving thanks, encouraging, identifying markers, is a part of telling a God story, not a you story. It's a part of seeing God's redemptive work, God's work in his community, and it's a part of reorienting you for the next season. To invite others to be a part of your God story, and to determine to be a part of the God story wherever you go. Make sense? So, grieve well. You got to identify what you're losing, express what matters, and then commend one another to God. What does it look like to entrust somebody to God? Now, some of you as parents, do you remember when your kids turned about 16, got their license, and they went to the city or went somewhere for the first time on their own with a vehicle? I can't be the only one. It's interactive. Okay. Did you sweat? Yeah, I you didn't sweat, and Doug didn't sweat at all. It's like, I remember that, and I remember when they went to school for the first time, and when they're kind of out of your care, and when they moved out of your house, and you learn to entrust something to God in a whole different way when it's outside your control, right? What does it look like to commend one another to God? And to intentionally say, you know, there's going to be some unknowns going forward. We don't know who's going to fill your spot here. We don't know who's going to pick it up when that gift moves on or that person who serves in the space goes away. And we don't know what you're facing where you go, but how do we commend one another to God? Well, I think he says it well. He says, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all who are sanctified. And there's this intentional commending of one another to God in grieving well and in saying goodbye. So the first thing I want to say about a godly goodbye is you got to grieve well. It will affect emotion. It will be significant. There'll be sorrow. And that is totally normal and totally natural and totally of God. And if you're building a box around yourself and saying, no one's going to do that to me, that's not the way it works. Second thing I want to encourage you to do is gain some perspective. I don't know if any of you have ever struggled with depression or been in a dark place or just felt overwhelmed by life and your circumstances. But isn't it tough when all you can see is bad to gain perspective, right? Or when something's just captivating your attention and you can't see the forest for the trees, isn't it a difficult thing to get the big picture and stand back and look at it? What I'm encouraging you to do in the middle of emotion and goodbye and grieving well is intentionally go somewhere where you can get some perspective. I want to take you to God. And I want to put this thing in a bigger picture. And, you know, I thought about all kinds of ways I could do that. And some of them were just really off the wall. So let's start with this. God is in control. If you question that and question that he doesn't have the outcome in hand, let me share with you Isaiah 48:9-11. God says, "For I am God and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country, I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it." God is about redeeming this world. He's for you, not about you. He's busy effecting his plan. He's inviting you to be a part of it. And he is absolutely and positively in control. And it's the faith step to say, when I don't know how it looks on the other side of this decision, this move, this change in my friendships, you need the perspective that God is absolutely and totally in control. Here's where I go. I remember that he's placed me somewhere in the world. Acts 17:26 says he knew the season or the time and the place that you would be. And so he knew you would be in Cold Lake for the season. He knew you would be Secondly, I remember that God's prepared works for you to participate in. Ephesians 2:10 says that God has prepared beforehand works for his people to participate in. And if he's prepared that, he's going to take you to where those works that are prepared for you are. And so you remember, God is able and he's active and at work. Psalm 135, 5 and 6 says this: "For I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth and in the seas and all the deep. It is he who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightning for the rain and brings forth wind from his storehouses." The first thing you do in gaining perspective is put God back in his right place. He's in control. He's active. He's given you but a brief moment of time on this earth. Eternity is secured. He is in control. And so whatever it is that captivates your focus, worry about where we're going to live and what that next job will be, or who's going to take this place in my life, or who are my kids going to be friends with, or who, God is in control. He's got this. Secondly, you need to, in gaining perspective, clearly identify what your role is. I think our role is to trust God and to accept his plan. Romans 8 tells me his love is constant. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Jeremiah 29, when the children of Israel are in a bad place, he says this great verse: "I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future, plans to prosper you." Not only is his love constant, his plan can be trusted. And then as I personally look around here and go, man, Lord, them, you're moving people out of leadership. You're moving people here. I need to remember that he's going to build this church. In Matthew 16, it says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And so my role is to remember that his love is constant. His plan can be trusted. He will build his church. And I need to gain some thanksgiving for what he has allowed. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, you should write this down somewhere. Memorize it. Keep it close. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." But God's will is that I appreciate what has been granted and give thanks, even when the circumstances don't seem to call for a lot of thanksgiving. So the first thing I want you to do is determine to grieve well. It includes emotion and identification and, like, there's just a whole bunch of stuff that happens there. Secondly, I want you to gain some perspective. The sky's not falling. That you've been blessed to experience some friendships for a season. And that God is still at work and he's still able and he's still active. And wherever he takes you and wherever he leads us, he has plans. And our job, our role, is to trust him and walk in those plans. And thirdly, when you gain that perspective, I think it's really important to extend a blessing. There's a pattern in Scripture about us blessing one another. To be intentional about wanting the best. We see it in Paul, where he's recognizing God at, or we see it in Acts, sorry, where Barnabas and Saul get sent off. And it says in Acts 13, 2 and 3, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." Those two guys were really critical to what was happening. They were well loved and a part of a movement of God that was really special. And God just said really clearly, "Hey, I have works prepared somewhere else. Lay hands, release them to what I have for them. In fact, send them with everything they need." God moves people in his work. And our job isn't to rant and rail at God over that. Our job is to extend a blessing. And that means we have to be willing to send. Now, there are some, I'll admit, that I've been very willing to send. And you know who you are. You're still here. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't mean it. we used to joke as pastors, like, that we should have some kind of a draft, you know, trade you a tithing piano player for a, no. There are some, you know, you call them the blessed subtractions, right? So somebody got it. That's actually not how we feel at all. But man, there have been some that I just didn't want to see go. God gave me a special friendship. They were a support. They prayed for me. They used their gift in our body. I just didn't know how in the world we would find someone else to fill that role. They were integral. They got what we were doing, and they had faith and vision, and people would follow them, and yet God would tap them on the shoulder and say, I want you over here. And I had to wrestle myself around in extending a blessing. Not only did I have to grieve well, not only did I have to gain some perspective and remember who was in charge of this whole deal and whose it was, but I had to get to the place where I'm willing to release them to what God has for them and get excited for them. It says this in 1 Thessalonians 3, 1-3. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. That knowing God's got a purpose and a use to send them with a blessing means my heart has to be willing to release them to go and do what it is God has for them to do. And so we see a pattern in Scripture of blessing them as they go. 1 Thessalonians 3:11-13. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. So my exhortation, my encouragement, my biblical study addressing the elephant in the room that we need to do godly goodbyes as people come and people go is that you need to be open about your grief. Identify what you're losing. Mark the moments. Be clear about it. This is how I feel. And be honest. It hurts, right? And I'm not real good at that. I've got to be honest. Grieving well is something that I think takes a lot of time. And I don't think a lot of us like to put that time in. Secondly, you need to gain perspective. Get back to God. Realize who's in control. Put him in the place. Realize that he's active and able. And then realize what your role is. It's to trust him. To be reminded of the truth and to walk in that truth. And thirdly, you need to bless. So let's ask the big question. So what? I've got something to say for those of you that God's going to move on this year, and something to say for those of you that are continuing on. First, for those who are leaving us, listen to my heart. I exhort you, encourage you, beg you. Recognize and give thanks to those who are significant. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring it to mind. Write encouragement cards, write notes, have a coffee, spend the time. What happens in that encouragement is essential. Be intentional about encouraging the faithful. You don't realize how weary people get in doing well. And your encouragement will spur them on. And so those that you see being faithful, from the person who greets at the door, that their smile and handshake has made a difference, right? To the person who looked after your kids, to it could be whoever in your circle or in your church, Be intentional about encouraging the faithful, even if they weren't personally close. Thirdly, please get a journal, spend some time, get a notebook. Identify your growth and your lessons from here. Don't lose them as you change location. God has been faithful to call you forward. There's been growth. There's been lessons, things that he showed you. Ask him to bring them to mind. Write them down. Next, pray for us, your church family, and ask that God would replace you. Not specifically you, especially if you're kind of cranky. You have a role in the body. You've got a part in the family. You've got gifts. You come and you serve. You're part of them. Ask that God fill your seat. That someone else would come to faith. That someone else would find a community, a family, a place in your small group. In this place. In the places that you serve. And then determine right now before you go anywhere that you're going to pick a place and ground in and grow wherever God takes you. And then finally, and I say this from 25 years as a pastor, where I've seen it happen on both sides. People call me from the new place and people that come here. Don't compare. God is going to take and transplant you somewhere. Don't compare it to here. Don't do it. And if you're new and you're coming here, don't compare us to your last church. If this is where God has you, he's going to do things in and through you. He wants your fingerprint on it. He may be wanting you to be a change agent, to bring something to the next place, but don't compare. Fair enough? For those of you that are hanging out with us, continuing on, here's my plea for you. From my heart to yours, would you please celebrate what God has granted instead of counting what you're losing? As you grieve and go through that, take time to say thank you to God that he's allowed someone else's life to come alongside yours and shift the trajectory just a little bit. Say thank you to him. Celebrate that you've been privileged to enjoy something. Secondly, you need to encourage those going specifically and intentionally. Tell them how their gifts were used. Tell them how God used them. Tell them how the growth that you saw in them. Send them out here filled up with hope and encouragement for what God has done and filled with anticipation for what God's going to do as he takes them to a new place and a new people. Here's the one thing we often fall down in. When you know somebody's going and it's a godly goodbye, you need to start praying for them. You need to pray for them faithfully and regularly, that God would protect them, that God would give them discernment, wisdom, that God would guide them, that God would prepare a place for them, that God would show them, right? Release them God's plan with a blessing. Be that person that chooses to bless and release. And then prepare your heart to embrace others who are journeying along that God's going to bring through our doors that can be a part of your life and their fingerprint can be on yours. Fair enough? All right. So, Wilder and your parents, would you come on up here? This is Dave and Caitlin. They and Wilder. And they've been a part of our church for quite a while. Dave got a job in Grand Prairie. He is a heavy-duty equipment technician, mechanic. I'm not sure if you're done or almost done or where you're at. And he has been living and working away from his family for a bit, and they're all moving up there. So do you have anything you'd like to say to people here on your way out? Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to do this without becoming too emotional. Just wanted to say thank you to everyone in this church. Dave and I came in a bit of a whirlwind with a lot of past hurts and pain and losing a lot of people in our lives and my father passing, and this church just kind of embraced us and embraced my mom and my dad had nothing but good things to say about church, and he didn't like church. So he really liked the people here. He couldn't believe how kind everyone was, and for him that was a really big deal. Thank you for being there and for listening and for really being friends and doing life with us. And I haven't gotten to know everyone, but I'm so grateful for everyone who has. And I just encourage anyone, if you're feeling like you're lonely and you need someone, just reach out and talk to those around you. And for those who are have an easier time reaching out to others, just look beside you and find someone new to meet and to talk to, because some of us aren't as extroverted as others and it takes a little more time. But we'll be praying for you because we love you and we're so excited to see how you impact this community. And for me, this is where I was born, so I'm so grateful that you're here and you're making an impact. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Yeah, give him a hand. So I will explain. There's verses around here. Our church name is on the bottom. I think we should put it in big stickers or something on them. I don't know. But when you come here, your light joins with ours, and we shine into the community. And as you leave, we want to give you a lantern symbolically to say, go and find a place to join your light with others and let it shine for Jesus. And we want to pray for you. Would you stand? So, Father, thank you for these friends of ours. Man, we've been able to go through some really hard times and really great times together. And I've watched you work in their lives, and I give you thanks. And as we stand here today and we say goodbye as they move to Grand Prairie, well, we know that that brings a shift in the relationship and the friendship. And Lord, we commend them to your care. Would you give them journeying mercy? Would you look after them? Would you already prepare friends and a place for them to worship? And Lord, would you just open the doors? Would your blessing and protection rest on them? They need your help, Lord, when it comes to just the right place to live and reside in the neighborhood you have for them. But show them and continue to draw them forward as they grow in you. So we commend them to your care today, and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. Dave? God, you hug. You're welcome. Knocking your hat off. So, what I would like to do now is, if you know that this year at some point through the summer or whatever you're going and you would be brave enough to do this, I'm just going to ask you to stand wherever you are right now, because we'll give you your lantern on your week. But there's some of you I know that are here, and I know you're taking off. All right, so now you see that there's some here and there's more, and some have left already. So would the rest of you just stand and put your arms out towards them? We just want to pray for you. And then Alex and the team will come. And just put your hands out. If you know Jesus and your heart joins with ours, let me pray. Father in heaven, we just give you thanks for the people we get to journey with. And thank you so much that we've been able to laugh together and cry together. Thank you so much that their gifts and their smile and their journey was shared with us. And thank you so much that we have eternity together, and we look forward, and we know that we'll be together in heaven. Would you bless them? Would you give them wisdom in their plans? Would you prepare places for them? Would you show them clearly the role and the things that you have for them to do? Would you bring new friends and new experiences? And Lord, would they just feel your abundant grace in this transition? And finally, Lord, would you replace them? Would you open our hearts to embrace others that would come and affect our lives and we'd experience their gifting? Would you grow us open that we might be willing to love and do life and say goodbye. And Lord, bring back and bring more and bring increase to people who would learn about you and grow in you here. And all God's people said.